Somewhere along here, you meet a young lady by the name of Jo.
That was the best blind date I ever had. She started her career with American Airlines as a stewardess in New York City in 1952. She transferred in December of 1954 to fly the Tulsa-New York route to be closer to her mother, who was a lady who had been deserted at Joe's birth by the husband and had raised two children, made marvelous strides with both the children, Joe's brother, who became a detective with the Little Rock Police Department, and then Joe, who had gone to college and then to American Airlines. But she wanted to be close to her mother, so she transferred to Tulsa. And the second night she was there, I got to meet her. A law school classmate who sat right next to me was going with her roommate. So he asked me if I wanted to come out and meet this young lady, which I did, and I was smitten from the first time I met her.
Was she?
I'm not sure. She says she was, but I'm not sure. It took me 6 months to convince her to marry me. She was having a really good time as a stewardess going around the country. But I think the thing that catalyzed it, when we both realized that we were made for each other, was that the phone bills were so big we had to get married. we couldn't continue to go on. I remember one time I was talking to her one night on a date, and I said, "We ought to get married or something." And Jo looked at me right in the eye, and she said, "We're going to get married or nothing."
So we have a new governor in here. J. Howard Edmondson was then elected governor, and he was the youngest at 33 years old.
Right. He actually ran in 1958. I was in the Tulsa Law School in my senior year in 1958. I was working for State Farm Insurance Company doing claim adjusting in the Tulsa area. One of the firms that I worked with was the best, I think, civil defense firm in Tulsa, which was Truman Rucker's firm, and his lead attorney was a man named Joe Best. Joe and I got to be really good friends, so when I came to my senior year, I asked Joe if he might give me an introduction to Bob Sims, who was going to be the new county attorney after he'd been elected when J. Howard ran for governor. So Joe did introduce me to Sims. Sims hired me, and it was the start of a wonderful career. But it was very unusual because J. Howard Edmondson had stripped the office, taking his attorney friends with him to Oklahoma City. So there were not enough county attorneys coming into Sims' term when he was sworn in January. And two of us were still in law school, and we were hired by Sims to be assistant county attorneys. And it required both of us to appear before the state Supreme Court and get permission to be admitted to practice prior to the time we'd finished law school and taken the bar. And John Mickey Immel, who became the U.S. attorney in Tulsa, and I were the two that were given that privilege. It was a wonderful privilege because it gave us an edge on any of the people in our class on trying cases.
What year did Howard Edmondson
become? He was elected in 1958 and took office in January 1959.
Okay. Then we come to the 1966 race for governor. Dewey Bartlett was a Republican candidate, state senator at the time.
Yeah, and he put on a very good campaign.
Henry Bellman could not succeed himself at the time.
Correct.
And so that's what set this up. What did you think about this race for governor?
I had been county attorney up to 66 for 5.5 years out of the 8 years I was in the county attorney's office. And I thought the fact that Bellman could not succeed himself left an opening for someone. I wasn't sure whether I was ready or not. I was 34 years old when I made the decision, 2 years out from the 66 race, and actually 36 at the time that I filed for office to run. But I had had the advantage of major publicity as county attorney in a nationwide fraud case involving school district employees selling surplus property and embezzling the money from the school district, and had been the first prosecutor in the country at the local level to expose that operation. Got great publicity, and the Tulsa World had helped immensely in that investigation. Ken Neal, one of their ace reporters, had been as hardworking as our county attorney's office was in helping uncover what had happened, and his investigative reporting work really helped make that case. So having had that kind of publicity and having been very active in the State DA's Association, as well as having written a book for county attorneys on how to charge someone accused, because we never had a form book in the history of county attorneys until I wrote that book and put it out there. All the forms were in some place codified or in a case codified, but they'd never been put together in a reference book for county attorneys. So I'd done that, and I thought, I'm going to try it, even though as young as I am. I got great encouragement from Oklahoma City, from many of my friends there, and so I ran in 1966. at the same time that Dewey Bartlett was running on the Republican ticket.
You had a special train, the David Hall Cannonball train?
Oh, that was marvelous, marvelous time. That was the largest train that had run from Tulsa to Oklahoma City since World War II. I think we had 39 cars. The cost of that train, it seems minuscule now, but it was a great amount, was $9,000. That's what we had to raise to pay for the train. We left the Tulsa Union Station on a Saturday morning, took the train with several hundred people to Oklahoma City to their train station, and we marched from the train station to the Skirvin Hotel where we held our rally to announce my candidacy for governor.
But back home, who's running the county attorney's office for
you? Oh, S.M. Buddy Fallis. If it hadn't been for Buddy Fallis, I could never have run for governor, ever. It was a burden that I didn't realize how heavy it was on him, because with me running for governor, not only did he have to run the office, he had to prepare to succeed me and run a campaign himself. And it turned out to be a much more difficult campaign because one of the other, maybe two of the other assistants decided they would challenge him. And it made it very, very difficult.
You had a campaign song. Do you remember the words or how it went?
I can't now. I apologize, John. It's been so long. But I do remember, though, that it carried very well, that particular one.
David Hall, Oklahoma. He's for all Oklahoma. He's what it takes to make our country strong. David Hall, Oklahoma. He's for all Oklahoma. What Oklahoma needs is David Hall.
With that voice of yours, it sounds a lot better than it did when we sang it.
Yeah, but I can't sing, so. And to cut costs in that campaign, you actually hitchhiked to Oklahoma City?
Yeah, to save money, we didn't have enough airplane volunteers. So to save money, my staff in Oklahoma City would take me to the Turnpike Gate. I would just hitchhike from the Turnpike Gate in Oklahoma City to Tulsa, and another staff member in Tulsa would pick me up. Same thing coming back. It saved an enormous amount of money, but I would think probably during that time I met at least 200 people and bummed at least 200 rides, and it got to be so publicized, especially in the smaller counties, that it really helped me being a man of the people.
But in the end, in that primary, you then lose to Preston Moore and Raymond Gary.
I missed it by 10,000 votes statewide. I was just absolutely hurt beyond belief, but it took me about maybe 5-6 weeks to get over it, and I realized that the reason I had lost was because I had not done my homework in the rural areas of Oklahoma. There were some counties I'd only visited once during that campaign, so I set out then for the next 4 years to remedy what I had not done in that campaign.
And then, of course, Dewey Bartlett wins that race.
Dewey ran a very good campaign, John. Dewey Bartlett was a very good man, and he did a good job as governor. I have no quarrel, no would I ever disparage him for what he did then.
Yeah. The opportunity to run for U.S. Senate came about.
Yes. Gene Stipe approached me and said that a number of people would like for me to challenge for the U.S. Senate. He asked me if I would be interested.
Be challenging who then?
J. Howard Edmondson, who was running for the seat again. I can't remember who was on the Republican side. Also, the incumbent, Mike Monroney, had not decided at that time he was going to run or not. Thank goodness I used my head this time, and instead of going with what my heart would say, let's run the race, I decided I would canvass as many prominent Democrats, both Oklahoma and Washington, and see what they thought about it. I did, and I'd say 90% of them counseled against it, but the most dramatic one was Bobby Kennedy Jr.
Who at the time was the Attorney General of the United States.
Was the Attorney General, and my dear friend and later law partner, Ronald Goldfarb, who had been a rackets prosecutor for Bob Kennedy, took me to meet him and arranged a good hour-long session for Kennedy to tell me what he thought. What's interesting, Ron didn't know, nor did I, what Kennedy was going to tell me. But he was adamant that I shouldn't do it and said, I've got to be really blunt with you. You'll get no support from our team or any of our team, and we'll work against you because we're from Mike Monroney. But he said, if you wait your turn, I'm not saying what might happen in a few years.
He didn't just dismiss you. I mean, he talked to you for some time.
And I thanked him profusely, and his brutal honesty helped me more in getting completely off of that and staying on my original mission to become governor.
So then it would have been how long later when he was killed by an assassin's bullet?
He was killed in June of 68, speaking at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles.
Because he was running for president.
Right. And that's when Sirhan Sirhan shot him.